It's the South Florida Morning Show with Jennifer Ross and Bill Adams on News Talk 850 WFTL.
So, look, this is something that we're certainly keeping an eye on. And we have always been very clear and that when it comes to social media platforms, it is their responsibility to make sure that when it comes to misinformation, when it comes to the hate that we're seeing, that they take action.
You're not seeing hate. You're seeing less of it. And it's misinformation because you don't have the narrative on one social media outlet. And they only lost one. It was only Twitter so far, and they're freaking out.
Oh, that's their biggest tool, their propaganda tool.
That was, of course, Karine Jean-Pierre from the White House press room yesterday. How creepy is that? How Orwellian is that?
Yeah, really.
Just step back for a second and think about what they're saying. This guy that bought this app that's talking about this free speech stuff. Yeah, we're keeping an eye on that.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was, yeah.
My God. They're flat out saying it's like, no, there's our speech. And the other stuff.
The biggest, yeah, exactly, because the biggest threat to people like in the Biden administration and the people behind the scenes and big corporations, the biggest threat to them is free speech, free thought.
And now you know why.
Right, yes.
They're not even hiding it anymore, Diener. Now you know exactly why they were deathly afraid of this. They fought tooth and nail to prevent this guy from buying Twitter and releasing this stuff. By the way, what they're not telling you is he has reportedly nuked tens of thousands of extremist accounts and creeper sites and creeper accounts too.
Yeah, he said he was going to make
it a safer place.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he said he was going to make it his number one priority to get all. There's unfortunately a lot of pedophilia traffic on Twitter, and he got rid of a lot of those accounts. And he said it's his number one priority to rid Twitter 100% of all that evil stuff.
And has. Is there any credit for that? No. They're flat out doing everything they possibly can to stop this guy, including, we'll get into this in a second, Apple coming out and threatening to drop Twitter from its app store. So if you got an iPhone like we do, I know you do, I do, Karen's got something else, but we have iPhones, you just wouldn't be able to get Twitter. So you want to talk about suppression. This is, in a way, well, they would never do that. They did it to Parler, a far less popular site,
sure.
but they did it.
Yeah, I mean,
this is just insane. This is clown world, what we're talking about here. And they lost one outlet, one, to their narrative, and they're freaking out so much so. This is long, but you got to hear the full question. Here's somebody, I don't know what outlet, I think it's the Washington Post in the press room yesterday.
Okay.
This is what prompted the response from Karine Jean-Pierre. Listen to the question, listen to the panic from this reporter saying, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do to get our narrative back so that we control it? What are you going to do?
Question about Twitter. There's a researcher at Stanford who says that this is a critical moment, really, in terms of ensuring that Twitter does not become a vector for misinformation.
Okay, first of all, a vector of misinformation, she called it. Anything they disagree with is a vector of misinformation.
Oh, yeah.
Are you concerned about Elon Musk says there's more and more subscribers coming online. Are you concerned about that? And what tools do you have? Who is it at the White House that is really keeping track of this?
They want the White House to stop this guy. Again, take a step back. From promoting free speech.
And that's their biggest threat. This is what happens when you are threatened like they feel like they are because their narrative is being challenged. And if they can't tell you what to think, then they can't control you. So this is why they are scared. And they've come up with buzz terms like misinformation.
A
and
vector of misinformation.
Vector and hate speech. And we're keeping an eye on it. Keeping an eye on what?
If you don't think he's taking this seriously, this was the last correspondence from Elon Musk last night on Twitter itself. This is what he says. This is a battle for the future of civilization. If free speech is lost, even in America, tyranny is all that lies ahead. He's not going to stop. And I think he's prepared himself for this. You may not like Twitter. You may not be into it. You think we're talking about it too much. You think the world is talking about it too much. And you may be right. Because when you think about it, a very small portion of the percentage of the population is on Twitter. Here's the thing, though. The people that are on it control the narrative of what you see and hear.
That's correct.
It's about information. And we're in the information age right now. And who controls it wins.
Yeah, exactly.
You want it free or you want it decided by people who will call it like a vector of misinformation.
That's it.
Because those people want to run the world and they want you to just be a serf That's it.
That's all they're after, and that's why they're coming out with statements like this, like, we're keeping an eye on it. I'm sorry. Keeping an eye on someone who's running a platform that he paid for outright to promote free speech and free ideas and free thinking?
That's just, I can't get over that comment, by the way. Yeah, we're keeping an eye on that.
Yeah. What that means, translation, we're keeping an eye on things that we don't like that they say because we don't want you thinking outside the box.
Oh, absolutely.
Think like us.
That's what it is.
Hate speech and think, oh, please. He's downgraded all the hate speech on there significantly.
But they won't talk about it. They won't let you know that.
No.
Anyway, in other news, probably something that affects your life more directly than Twitter is. This is a very important deal. This, by the way, and I didn't know this existed, it is National Get Rid of Your Thanksgiving Leftovers Day.
No.
Mostly like this stuff. Turkey stuff, which I can almost justify, but they want you to throw it out in the name of food safety.
Nope.
I'm going to tell you right now, and I've savored it, and I'm proud of myself for not eating it all at once.
That's
went
good.
Through the apple pie, but I've been savoring a pumpkin pie that Lauren made that is fantastic.
Okay.
Little bit day by day, and society wants me to throw that out.
Not doing it.
I say no.
Now, I will say this. Because I'm with you. I'm taking a stand.
Okay, some items, though.
Well, it depends.
Yeah.
Like, I still have a little bit of lasagna left over.
Oh, lasagna lasts a good long time.
Sure does. Yeah. I reheated that last night. Boy,
I think it gets better.
It's so good when you reheat lasagna. Oh, I was killing it last night.
Yeah.
What is it, by the way, when you reheat lasagna? It is just piping hot. There is and like no matter how much you put it out, you can estimate, okay, I'll put this in for 20 seconds. It comes out and it's gonna be cold in the center and piping hot on the top and around.
You know what it is? It's the thermal layers.
Yes.
By definition, lasagna is in layers. And not every layer gets the nuclear heat. That's what it is. It
doesn't get distributed evenly throughout the pasta.
It's a problem.
Yeah, it is.
So who's this coming from? It's coming from the
Communists.
Yes. Maybe. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services says stuff that you put in the freezer prior to today can be safe to eat indefinitely, but the quality will decline over time. Stuff you just stuck in the fridge or on a counter, get rid of it.
See, here's where I disagree, because if you, and this is my technique, and maybe you do the same thing, I don't know. When you put something, say, in a plastic bag, right? Maybe use a Tupperware, a plastic bag, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you do a little bit of both. If I have something in like a Ziploc baggie, what you got to do is you got to squeeze the air out.
Well, yeah, of course.
You know, and then you close it up because then it's going to stay fresh longer.
Buy yourself a couple extra days.
Yeah, it's huge.
And it makes room. It's like a vacuum pack.
Yes, yes.
You have to.
It drives me nuts when I see people put something away in a Ziploc baggie and they don't squeeze the air out. I'm like, what are you doing? Do you want it to go bad in 3 hours?
You're just giving the molecules, the air molecules, and their free reign to go. We're going to get rid of this.
Here comes that mold. Squeeze the air out. Gives you an extra couple days.
I don't care what the hell day this is. I'm not getting rid of that pumpkin pie. It's perfectly good still. It's fine. There's still some turkey left.
We have very little turkey left, so we're good there.
It's a little. I know. I get you. But
yeah.
I understand what they're trying to do for food safety.
I get it.
It is an issue.
You put it in the microwave, it kills the germs, you're fine. You're good to go.
Oh, you'll be good till July.
Just put it on an extra 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
That's all.
Oh, yeah. A lot of Christmas stuff happening this week. We're lighting up a lot of trees locally and around the country. We'll talk about that for a little bit. We've got more on this local story, unfortunately, now, that is, again, a national story with this Austin Harrof, the Jupiter kid, the face-eating kid. Ugh.
It's a rough one.
Not even a jury decision yesterday, a judge's decision, and there's outrage over it already. We get that and more coming up next. The South Florida Morning Show. Keep it here. News time again, almost at 8:30. That's coming up from Karen. What you bringing to the table?
Well, you know how I'm like a dog with a bone, and I kept digging on this JetBlue airline pilot hiring story because he has a felony arrest and he's on probation until 2044. His name is John Perry's. And he's on probation here in West Palm Beach.
Doesn't matter, Karen. He's vaccinated. That's what's important.
Well, yeah. Apparently, he was wearing a mask when he attacked his fiancée, who was a judge's daughter, and that's why he was put in prison for 9 years.
Well.
But he's a pilot.
Hey, doesn't mean he's not a good pilot.
That's right. What did you say?
It's a terrible joke.
And JetBlue won't allow unvaccinated pilots, but they're going to, due to safety reasons, but they'll allow this violent felon to fly their planes.
I think it also speaks to this. There is a massive pilot shortage. Yeah. They're stuck. All the airlines are going through this. So they probably would have been a lot pickier before. Yes. I don't know. Well, whatever.
But
I wonder what his route is or will be, because I fly JetBlue. That's the one we fly all the time.
Oh, really?
We're always on JetBlue.
Yeah, he's a flight risk, is what you said. But,
I did, yeah.
Do you want me to knock on the cockpit door next time? Hey.
Hey, are you the guy?
You that guy?
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, he was wearing a mask when this happened, but he doesn't wear a mask now. But, you know, the government, you don't have to. The government is not mandating that you be vaccinated as a federal contractor. And JetBlue says we have to mandate this because we're a federal contractor. But they just said, no, you don't have to.
Yeah, they were afraid of the backlash.
I don't get it.
Of them dropping that.
Anywhere, that more coming up.
Thank you, Karen. Appreciate it very much. What if the guy's a listener?
He might be.
That'd be awesome.
Maybe he's on his way to flight school right now. I don't know.
Hey, if you're the vaccinated semi-violent pilot that's now... go ahead and call in.
Who beat up his fiancée while wearing a mask. Give us a call or send us a text.
That's our people.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Karen. That and more coming up at 8:30 in News Talk 850 WFTL, the South Florida Morning Show. Speaking of online, by the way, don't forget about the 850 mobile app. Everything you see online and actually here on the air, you can get through the app. And it's important to traveling, speaking of that, throughout the holidays, so you don't have to be without us. All of the stuff is on there, including on the Morning Show blog. We're having a debate in the studio whether or not to put... Well, let's go to the official headline because people will accuse us of making it up, Diener, including the story about the non-binary drag queen nuclear waste guru, Sam Brenton, 34, charged with theft.
We're debating
whether or not to put that in the Morning Show blog.
I've done enough digging and seen enough of his pictures to where now I feel forced to put it up because I've gone through so much visual anguish by continuing to look at this guy that now I have to put it up. Oh my gosh.
If you missed our story before, we won't go into the whole thing right now. He stole a lady's suitcase with all the clothes inside, worth over $2,000.
It's just such a wacky story, and the cast of characters involved, it's got to go on the blog.
It was at the Minneapolis airport. Here's the craziest part of all. He hadn't checked any luggage. There was no reason for him to go to the carousel. He stole it. He's on camera, and he walked away with it.
Just saw it and stole it.
And then denied it, but then called the cops back and said, I'm sorry, it was me.
It's such a weird thing to do. So,
I think you should put it on. I know that we posted it before months ago when he was hired because he proudly proclaimed himself as he is as the first non-binary transgender, administration member.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen this cat, check it out. You didn't dig into the pup play thing, did you?
There's some pictures involved. Unfortunately,
he's a pup play enthusiast, something I only learned about last night.
That's also a thing.
Likes to put willing participants in masks and drag them around with a leash.
Yep.
All right.
So there you go.
We're rolling strong in the administration these days, kids.
Going to be on the blog, 850WFTL.com.
I think we've decided. You can't not put it on there now.
I have to. I mean, all these details, come on.
This is all over the blog and all over the website as well. The whole story made national news again, not in a good way. Austin Harriff, you remember that name from 2016? This was the kid in Jupiter that attacked those, killed two people in the garage, basically bit the guy's face, believing it was half dog, half man. Also killed almost killed a neighbor who called in with the 911 call. Well, he's been deemed not guilty by reason of insanity by a judge. Non-jury trial, but the family got a chance to speak to him directly for the first time yesterday. Some of the things they had said, here's some of the highlights and the quotes. This is white rich boy justice. Another family member had said, why doesn't my family get any justice? Another one had looked at him directly and said, you did this and you won't admit you're a criminal and you won't look at me. Man. Here was the sister of one of the victims speaking out again during that chance when they had to, get a chance to speak to him directly.
I hope that he stays wherever you are sending him forever. And if not forever, for at least my lifetime.
This has been out of mind for most of us for a long time now, but not for family members, obviously. And a lot of the neighbors still in that neighborhood. Here's a kid that knew all the people that were killed.
Honestly, I think someone like that's taken the lives of two people and nearly almost killed a third with the neighbor across the street, I think his life should be over.
The neighbor across the street, by the way, here's another thing that surfaced that I hadn't heard in years and I almost forgot about this. Did you ever hear the 911 call from the guy that tried to help the two victims, was attacked himself, ran back inside his house and called 911? Listen to this. He almost died himself.
Young man beating up a woman across the street. Okay, are they outside or in a house?
It's in a garage.
Horrifying.
Just
horrifying.
Man, I can't believe that was 6 years ago, too.
Me neither.
I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I had to put this story out of my mind when I feel bad saying that for the families, because obviously they can never put it out of their mind.
Right. Imagine reliving that every single day of your life.
And, I mean, it just, and then here it comes, you know, this story kind of pops up again because of the sentencing at the trial. But man, that is that's a tough one. And it's just a weird case, such an odd thing that happened, still not really fully explained because of his toxicology report showed that he wasn't really high on anything.
Just makes
no sense.
To this day, the family members, and they fought this for years, don't believe the toxicology report. They said there's absolutely no way. He was on something.
Yeah, I mean, that could be the case because I don't know how else you explain it.
I don't know how you do either. And I forgot about this one, too. This surfaced last night. Our news partner, Channel 5, showed it, I believe. Do you remember the security footage? You ever see that of him leaving a restaurant?
That's right. Yeah.
Shortly before that, it was that night? Looked okay to me.
That's the other weird part, right? What happened in between that time?
Flocka? I don't know.
Maybe.
Something that didn't show up in the toxicology report, that's for sure.
Good gosh.
In the meantime, how's some better news?
We could try.
Unless this scares you too.
Oh.
We're only 25 days till Christmas.
25 days? Wow, that's coming quick.
All right, a little longer than that. 25 days, 15 hours, 36 minutes, and 6 seconds.
Now I feel better.
Now. Now you realize you got that extra 15 hours. You're all right.
It makes you feel a lot better. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to finish shopping, Bill. I'm panicking.
Tonight, we're going to light up, not us, but they are, in Delray Beach, the 100-foot Christmas tree they have at Old School Square. That happens at 7 p.m.
Love that tree. Really cool scene, actually, the whole place down
it's
there.
It's really nice. They do a nice job down there. They really do. Tomorrow night on the national stage is going to be the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree in New York City. That whole big presentation.
Yes.
Well, NBC has that, I think.
Yeah, yeah, that's on NBC tomorrow night. Andrea Bocelli and his kids are going to be performing. It's pretty cool.
Didn't know he had kids.
I knew he had his son. I didn't know his daughter, too, now is
a
singer. Are
they the new three tenors?
They might be. The Bocelli three tenors.
Did he kick out the other guy nobody can remember?
I still don't know
Carreras?
His name.
Carreras?
Was that his name?
Yeah.
There you go.
I've wondered who the third tenor is for so long. I know his name now.
I have to keep Googling it. I keep forgetting.
And then Thursday night, looking forward to downtown West Palm Beach. We're going to light up. We actually are going to do this. The Sandy, the 2,000 tons of fun sand Christmas tree, whatever that thing is. It's the only one in the world. Going to light that up, too. Downtown West Palm Beach is there. This is the week of lighting up Christmas trees.
Sandy got an award, didn't she? Like one of the top Christmas, what was it, Christmas destinations or trees in the country or something like that?
Sounds good to me.
It was voted.
Whatever it was, like Sandy won.
It was a big honor. It was like the USA Today.
It's a major award.
It is, yes.
For Chile. Anyway, so that's happening.
Very fun stuff to look forward to.
Absolutely. Looking forward to this, too. We got headlines coming up, of course. But in the world of rock and roll and entertainment, an early Christmas present came out of left field, out of nowhere, about a very famous rock band that released a song, announced an album, and a massive tour yesterday.
I had no idea. I guess nobody else had any idea about this either.
It came out of nowhere.
Wow.
I'll tell you who that is coming up next. The South Florida Morning Show. Keep it here. Thank you, Karen. See you for that news coming up. News Talk 850 WFTL. It is the South Florida Morning Show. There's Diener. I'm Bill. And I'm not going to believe this, Diener, but we had our microphones left over in the inner workings from when Jack Dorsey was there. Karen had placed a microphone in the inner offices of Twitter.
I knew it.
It's placed near Elon Musk's desk now.
Very, very crafty with where we put the 850 WFTL microphone.
This is what it sounded like yesterday. Fighting for freedom, freedom of speech. In fact, this is what he said. This is his last message to the world on the company he now owns, Twitter. And he's serious about it. This is a battle for the future of civilization. If free speech is lost, even in America, tyranny is all that lies ahead. Anybody disagree with that?
He's not exaggerating.
I don't think he is either.
I mean, when you look at it, remember how you felt over the past, say, 2 or 3 years mm-hmm. as the election stuff was going on with Trump and Biden, all this, you know, information that was coming out was being suppressed. That was, you know, could have had a very big impact on how the election played out.
Remember that poll? Remember that poll of Democrats? They said if you knew what was on that Hunter Biden laptop and how it implicated Joe Biden, would it have changed your vote? It was close to 40% said yes.
That's right. So there's that was suppressed. That was called misinformation, Russian propaganda. Then think about everything that was suppressed during mm-hmm. COVID. You weren't allowed to say certain things. So if you're talking about, and look at PayPal, another perfect example.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, you're right.
Dock you $2,500 if you engage in what they consider to be misinformation. This is all stuff that they're protesting right now in China, and they try to do it here. So don't think Elon Musk is exaggerating here, because he's not. He sees where this is going, just like the rest of us do.
He sounds like a founding father at this point.
I know,
he's one of the few people actually with the ability and the determination to get it done. Because you write something like that, you take on this challenge, and trust, they're coming after him. You can see it.
Right.
I mean, the work behind the scenes, you got the White House press room yesterday saying, we're keeping an eye on him.
Oh, yeah.
We're keeping an eye on things. How Orwellian does that sound? He knows the battle that's ahead, but he knows how important it is, too. And thank God he's there doing it. Here's the big development. Here's where they're really going to come after him. And it's got apparently a name now, because he put it in capitals. The Twitter Files.
I didn't know it had a name, but I guess he gave it one, so yeah.
The Twitter Files on free speech suppression, soon to be published on Twitter itself. The public deserves to know what really happened over the history of this thing. So what is he talking about, and why does it matter to us normal people, everybody listening right now? It matters because this is the information age, and those that control it control the narrative.
That's correct.
That's why it's important. So what's going to be in it? Yeah, the Hunter laptop thing, they suppressed that, obviously. But here's the really important thing to watch out for. Correspondence. Direct communication between Twitter executives pre-Elon and major corporations, major news operations, administrations, other world leaders, health foundations, everything. About everything you've lived through for the past couple of years.
This is exactly why they were scared, threatened, put out all this, you know, these hit pieces about Elon Musk as he was buying Twitter. This is why they didn't want him to get it.
This is what he didn't want, because he knew that this was in there. Because all you got to do, why didn't they clean this stuff up? It's all in files. You bought the company. You own the property to everything, all the previous communication, all of it.
Think about everybody who's been banned on Twitter. Was it ever anybody on the left?
Oh, that's a great point. Very few, I think. I don't know.
I mean, just recently, Kathy Griffin was banned because she broke the rules as far as having a fake name in your Twitter handle, and then he brought her back. But what I'm talking before Elon Musk, before Elon, I can't think of anybody. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm out. Maybe I'm, you know.
No, I can't. I think somebody posed that to him, too. Some prominent person, because they the people who have big accounts correspond with them.
Sure.
Somebody posed that exact question, and he goes, good point.
And that's what it is.
I don't follow a lot of them, but I don't know.
So when you think about it, when this, you know, these Twitter files come out, it's going to be a lot about how the left was using Twitter as their own propaganda arm to suppress truth on many different subjects.
This is why you see things and hear things like from the White House press room yesterday. Karine Jean-Pierre said, we're keeping an eye on this with the misinformation we hear. So anything that comes out, it's already labeled misinformation because it affects them.
Which is hilarious that they're going to try to label anything that comes out as misinformation because these are all documents. These are all things that were saved on the servers of Twitter. It's hard evidence. You can't get any more evidence than this of the things that you know, supposedly going to come out.
It's an amazing time. It really is. It doesn't sound like it's an important thing. It sounds like you're just talking about just another one of the many social media apps. You got to look beyond that and realize exactly what this is. It's about freedom of speech. He's exactly right in how important it
Absolutely.
Is. And think about where we are now. You got the White House saying, yeah, that guy with that company, talking about that freedom of speech thing, keeping an eye on that.
Yeah, he's a threat.
Think about that.
That's true.
Well, where we are right now.
That freedom of speech
Where that's a threat to people.
Yes.
My
Absolutely.
God. Anyway.
it's insane.
In other news, and I'm calling this the good news category, Diener, even if you're not a Metallica fan, I think it's incredible that a band this big can come out with something that shocked the world out of nowhere in left field. They come out with a left hook, releasing a new song, announcing a new album, and a massive new tour coming next year. Good for them.
Yes, I'm very excited for this.
Oh, absolutely. This is, you want to hear what the new song is called?
I would love to.
It's, here's a little tidbit of that. Oh, watch out now.
Yeah.
Well, you're awake now.
Oh, I want more of that. That's good stuff.
I think I'm pronouncing this right. Song is called Lux Aeterna.
It's going
to be on an album called 72 Seasons. It comes out in April, and then the world tour. But talking about this world tour, I've never really seen anything like this. So it's going to be 2023, 2024, at least, and it's a stadium tour, at least two shows in every city. And they say the set list of every show and the opening acts will not be the same night by night.
It's a really cool idea. It's a very cool concept.
Yeah.
The only part that I'm a little disappointed on right now is that I was looking through some of these dates because I heard about this.
Yeah.
You told me about it, and I was like, oh, man, all right, I got to take a look. You know, let's see when they're coming to South Florida. Nope. Nothing.
Looks like they can add, though.
I mean, I hope they add. There's still time to add, but there's a lot of European dates.
A lot of, mostly Europe of the end of April, blah, 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 blah. Then they got to Canada for a little bit, then California, St. Louis.
Yeah,
then back to Munich and Helsinki.
Yeah, they go through the Midwest, some Foxborough. Northeast dates. There's a couple shows in Foxborough in August of next year.
And then September of 2024.
My gosh.
Talking about this already. Four shows in Mexico City, Mexico, if you want to go to see them there.
September of 2024. How can they plan that far out?
Hopefully the Twitter files will be out by then.
Yeah, really. we're gonna be on September 24th. Well, it's a month, 2 months before the election. We're waiting for the Twitter files to come out. Oh, my gosh.
That's what it's going to be. I don't know. I just thought that's pretty big entertainment news. Whether or not you like that band, we happen to, but it's big in the world of entertainment,
sure,
for sure. Very cool of them. All right, we got some headlines coming up next, but also a feel-good story, which is a heroic cop story out of Jacksonville. A cop who can't swim jumped into a retention pond to save a drowning baby. The sound is amazing.
This video is...
It's intense.
It's intense. That's a perfect word for it. It's enthralling. I couldn't turn away. I'm putting it on the Morning Show blog as we speak.
You talk about brave.
Oh,
you'll hear exactly what you went through to save this baby. That's coming up next. The South Florida Morning Show. Keep it here. More news is coming up. About 12 minutes away from Karen. Top of the hour. What's coming?
Well, boys, tomorrow's the day.
Uh-oh.
Hurricane season ends.
Oh, how about that?
Finally.
Relatively quiet. Well, it was kind of weird because we had a couple of storms, but then nothing from July to August 21st. And that's the first time that's happened since the 40s.
Right,
yeah.
It was late arriving.
Right. And then seven storms formed in September and November, bringing it to near normal levels.
And then we had Ian.
Ian sucks.
Remember we always used to say, though, wow, okay, yeah, technically it's December 1st. We know nothing happens in November.
Yeah. Well, then we had that stupid November hurricane like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving.
Veterans Day hurricane.
Yeah. Crazy, Nicole, right?
It was annoying.
Hated it.
It was annoying.
Nothing says Thanksgiving like a hurricane. At least we don't have a volcano. They have to call out the National Guard. They're supposed to, you know, review their volcano alert information.
Right.
Well, I think number one should be run. Get away from it. Get off the island.
It's amazing when I see some of these volcanoes going off. You see these pictures of like researchers and then they're taking pictures like right in front of the lava.
Yeah.
Like, how does that even happen?
Didn't you see Pompeii?
Yeah, come on.
What's wrong with you people?
I always imagine because of the movies, I imagine volcanoes just spewing lava everywhere and it's chasing you down the street. And then you watch a video and it's like, just like
slow-moving
blob.
Yeah.
I never understood that and it was a traveling display. I've seen it a couple of times at museums. The Pompeii exhibit where they unearthed these... It's just like the cast of the people that were in there.
Yeah,
they were
amazing.
Eating breakfast.
They were in the middle of everyday activities.
Yeah.
Like eating breakfast. One guy was painting, and they have them like the mold of them perfectly preserved. You didn't hear the big boom or anything, or like
I don't know. I don't know how that happens.
I don't know.
Was it just instantaneous?
Yeah, I'd rather have hurricanes than a volcanic eruption. I'm sorry.
I agree.
Well, we got warnings. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that one coming up.
All right.
Goodness.
I'll put that on our ranking of natural disasters we hate the most. Volcano. I'm still, you know what? Still number one for me because I've never really lived through a real one. Earthquake.
I know. Me too.
The thought and the concept of the ground shaking below me enough to like ruin a house or a building, that freaks me out.
But it's funny because then you have Californians who, you know, they've experienced earthquakes all their lives and they have something like a 4.2 and they're like, it's just a tremor. Go back to bed.
I guess it's what you're used to.
Yeah.
It's so, like us with hurricanes. We're like, that's not a real
that's
one.
That's it. You know, someone from California might have just moved here. The coal is coming their way. And they're like, oh, my gosh, a hurricane's coming. We're like, it's a low-grade one. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it just depends on your mindset, what you're used to, I suppose.
Man, the day's coming. I'll be in an earthquake someday, somewhere traveling or whatever.
Oh, no.
And it's going to wig me out. I felt small tremors before. You know, every once in a while you have those. But
yeah. Did you feel like, because have you been to California?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you have? Okay. I've never been over there. I've never been further west than Texas.
I've been in Northern California a couple of times, Southern California a couple of times. Didn't feel anything. But you're right. They're like, well, whatever.
Yeah.
It never happens. And I guess you have to have that attitude.
That's it. I mean, I guess if you're just used to it, your house shakes a little bit and you go back to sleep. I don't know, man. You're right, though. That the thought of a strong earthquake terrifies me, too.
Well, anyway,
yes.
Not only is tomorrow the official end of hurricane season, today is actually the day that is Giving Tuesday. So this is supposed to be the day where you give to your favorite charity or whatever.
Then, that's nice.
I think the United Way, which is an umbrella organization for lots of different charities, organize this kind of thing, which is usually pretty big every year, and they usually post all their numbers and what people gave or whatever. It'll be interesting to see what people give after a record. It even surpassed the $11 billion they were predicting yesterday for Cyber Tuesday, wow. Cyber Monday. Be interesting what's left in the kitty.
I know. See, that's the thing. We were kind of speculating yesterday during Cyber Monday. What are you going to have left to give?
Which, let's see.
Well, hopefully you can find something. You know, some change between the cushions. Give it to St. Jude or Ronald McDonald House, Red Cross.
Yeah. The good thing is if you do have some sort of favorite charity or you want to, like, you know, I don't blame you for looking at it as a tax write-off either. A lot of nonprofits will match whatever you give. So
well, that's good.
That's a good thing.
By the way, is this a party foul? I'll throw this out there real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I was on late last night. I was just, the whole day yesterday was just busy. I mean, you know how that goes. And I didn't get to do any shopping at all for Cyber Monday. And it was like 11 o'clock last night. And I was catching up on all the World Cup matches because I didn't get to see anything at all during the day. So finally, like 10 o'clock, I sat down like, all right, let me see what happened throughout the day.
All you got to do is watch SportsCenter.
No, I got to watch it. I got to see it in real time.
Blow the whistle, kick the ball, repeat for 90 minutes. That's your highlights.
Got to see it in real time. So I fast forward to the good parts, though. But so I'm like, oh, man, it's like 11:15 now. I'm like, I got to check some of this stuff out. I go on there, and I'm putting things in the shopping cart for myself to show Kristen for tomorrow. I'm like, hey, here's my little Christmas list.
Oh, yeah.
And I come across, I wanted some, like, wireless earbuds. I'm like, whoa, look at this. It was $80, and it came down to $25. And I'm like, but it was a Cyber Monday deal. And I'm thinking, I got to buy these myself. So now I took away the opportunity for her to get me a present.
So?
Is that bad?
No, you saved the family money.
I mean, right?
That's how you justify this.
I didn't get to show it to her in time. It was too late. She was already asleep.
The longer time goes on, too, it gets harder and harder to find a gift for somebody.
Because
you know everything. You share the bank account that you got her everything anyway.
Right.
Man.
Well, I got some new earbuds. For myself.
And this is why Christmas is stressful. All right, we got a feel-good story, which really, I think, is a heroic story, and it's Florida-related. You got to see the video on the Morning Show vlog, both on the app, 850 app, mobile app, as well as 850WFTL.com. A Florida officer who doesn't know how to swim, more on that in a second, we have questions, put her life on the line. She jumped into a retention pond to grab a drowning baby, pulled the child onto land, gave it CPR.
Yeah.
And the officer is an absolute and total hero. Here's just a little bit of a condensed clip from the body cam footage. And you can hear the moment she actually goes into the water to save the child. It's incredible. And remember, the whole time she can't swim herself.
That's right.
And put her life, literally put her life on the line.
Where's the baby at? Where's the baby?
Wow. She goes. Total success.
Wow.
Baby's going to be okay. How about that?
Thank God. And then, I mean, that she was there and was able, you know, willing to risk her life.
Yeah.
She's a true hero. I mean, to go in there and save this child. We do have the video up on the Morning Show blog. It's like the full uncut extended version. It's enthralling. It's harrowing. It's intense.
It's amazing. I think it's incredible. Her name is Miasha. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Miasha Sanderson, Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, joined in 2019. Here's my question for you. I really honestly have never thought or heard about this. I thought it was a prereq to become a cop. You have to be able to swim. I didn't know that.
I know it is down here, or at least it was.
Yeah.
I mean, my brother went through police training. He was in the police academy and everything. And I mean, I remember he had to do a certain amount of swimming as part of the test.
I think of Florida and all the water we have. We're surrounded by water, even if it's just like this story here with a retention pond.
Right.
I just kind of thought that was part of the deal. I don't know.
Should be. But thankfully, she went in anyway and, well, got the job done, so to speak. Thank God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
All right, kick off the mysterious 9 o'clock hour. Get some more headlines, but we have a hypothetical, hypothermical conundrum. Do you support this guy or not? He's making the rounds. He's viral.
Oh,
it went on
boy.
TikTok.
Oh, boy.
It's a dad. He's there with his family walking out of Best Buy last weekend. Spent over $2,000 at Best Buy, and they wanted to charge him for a bag, and he refused.
Principle of the thing?
He's getting attacked on social media for this.
Why?
They're actually calling him cheap. His point is, I spent enough, you can at least throw in the bag.
I think it's a common courtesy.
I'm on his side, I gotta tell you, unless this changes. It's coming up next. The South Florida Morning Show, keep it here.